whatever you want to, as long as you don't call me too late to eat. But we appreciate the privilege and opportunity to preach one more time here at Home Baptist Church. We spent 3 years here as members back in the early 80s. Was a very good time of our life, and it's always good to come back. And I've been kind of roasted a little bit here because I'm the oldest fellow around here in this conference, and I don't mind being 76. In 4 months, Lord willing, I'll be 77. And Lord's blessed me with fairly good health. I do, you know, from the time I was 8 years old till the time I was 70, I'd only spent one day in the hospital. Since I turned 70, I've spent 12 days in the hospital. And I do have a pacemaker and defibrillator. Last August, after come home from church Sunday, started passing pure blood. So rather than panic, I called our song leader and said, "Jackie, could you take me to the hospital? I said, I'm passing pure blood." So he took me. I ended up 2 days. And the doctor, the surgeon, urologist, he come in and he said, "Well, what was happening, there was some, inside my bladder, there were some blood vessels that were bleeding, and they cauterized them." He come in and he says, "This is more common in women than it is men." He says, "But if it could occur again, if it does, we'll take your prostate out." And I thought, when did women have prostates? But I also thought in my mind, you're not taking anything out unless I get a second opinion. But we're going to bring you greetings from Northside Baptist Church in Elkton, Kentucky. And since we left here 41 years ago, I've spent 35 of those years in Kentucky. So if you hear some language you don't quite understand, it comes from Kentucky. And I don't apologize for that. But we'd like this evening to ask you to turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Amen. Our topic tonight will be patience. And I believe patience is a problem we all have. Not having patience, but a lack of patience. And speaking personally, it's not the major things that I have a problem with. It's the little things. And the little things are because when little things come up, we don't ask God's help. We think we can do it ourselves. Right. And most of the time, it turns out like you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. Don't work. And there's been times when I've had to say, "All right, put it down, take a break, and pray about it." But patience, and we'll read the verse later on in chapter 5 that talks about the patience of Job. And when you think about the patience of Job, after you get past the first two chapters of Job, Job's patience weren't all that great either. Patience is a problem with us. And as we look here in verse 3, the word patience, to define that, he's talking about enduring things or circumstance, long suffering, or endurance towards people. Now that's tough. And that definition of long suffering, who is the most long suffering individual there is? God. You know, God is long suffering toward us. And when we look at our life in the song that we just heard sung, you know, that if you look at that, why? Why does God love us? Why is He long suffering toward us? God is patient toward us. And when we look at those who have walked upon this face of this earth, no one was more patient than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we faced half of what He did during His life, we'd be boiling all the time. But He was long-suffering. Why? For us. It was for us. Amen. So as we see here again, verses 3 and 4 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And, but, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, if we just look at these two verses, if you just look at these and meditate upon them sometime, you can learn a lot. Patience. Looking down here in verse 12, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Amen. So we see involved in patience here is the trying of our faith. And that's faith, that's the broad spectrum of faith, not just doctrinally, but in everyday life. And we're going to see some examples of men and women in the Scripture who endured temptation, the trying of your faith. And we must realize the trying of our faith, the trying of the things in our life. God brings test into our life. Satan brings test into our life. But nothing comes into our life that God has not allowed. Satan can't do anything to us unless God allows him. And sometimes you'll sit back and you'll see, hear things that are happening, and the question will say, well, why did God allow that? Well, He puts us to the test. He tries us. He puts our faith to the test. One of the greatest tests, as we look back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 11, we have Abraham. And we're going to speak more about Abraham later on. But Abraham and Sarah had been promised a son. We know that he had Ishmael because Sarah got a little hurried, afraid. So give her Hagar. Ishmael was born. And Abraham begged, let Ishmael be my son. Of course, prior to that, he wanted one of his servants. God said, no, I told you that you and Sarah will have a son. Well, when Abraham's 100 years old, Sarah's 90, Isaac was born. And God told him, you know, through Isaac will your seed be born. When Isaac's about 26 years old, God tells Abraham, you go to a mountain that I'll show you and you sacrifice Isaac. God put Abraham's faith to a test. Also his patience. In verses 17 through 19 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise of offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed God. His faith was put to a test here. And we see what it says here concerning Abraham's faith. He believed that if he sacrificed Isaac, that God would raise him up from the dead in like figure. In like figure of what? Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're told in the book of Galatians that when God told him his seed, that was Christ. So Abraham believed that Christ would come from his offspring. And this was putting him to the test. You know, how many of us today, and I have one son, but how many of us today who have a son would be willing to sacrifice our son if we were told to? I don't think we would. But Abraham believed God. And his faith was tested. And his patience was tested. Remember when they got ready to go up that mountain, they were going up that mountain. And Abraham told his servants, wait here. I and the lad will return. And Isaac looks at his dad and he says, here's the fire and here's the wood, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide himself with a lamb. That means a Passover lamb. And as he had Isaac tied to that altar and the knife drawn, there was a ram caught in a thicket. Abraham met the test. So when we look at patience and we see that he's speaking of the trying of our faith, do we meet the test? Like I said, there's a lot of little things. It's the little things normally that get us in trouble because we think we can do them on our own. That tells me many times when I get in a fizz over something small, why didn't I pray about this? Why didn't I pray about it before I started? Now, there's a lot of things in life that we get aggravated at. One of my aggravations is I'm getting ready to go into Walmart and they have enter and exit. I can read. I'm heading in the entrance and you got people knocking you down to get out. And then when you're going out, you got people knocking you down to go in. And I thought, man, can't they read? I'm just glad I haven't met any of my former students. But that's aggravating. Or you're in your vehicle and you're going up here, the arrows are pointing this way, and you got somebody coming at you this way. And they're upset because you're in their way. Well, those are aggravations. And that can be putting you to the test. But I don't think there's any patience involved in that. You can't prevent that. But there are many things. And if you young preachers, someday the Lord's going to give you a pastorate. It takes patience to pastor. Because you never know from one day to the next what situation you're going to be faced with. And you have to be prepared for the unexpected. But again, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So let your patience have her perfect work.
Amen.
So what we see in this is there is then an element of perfection when we're patient. Patience, many times, is waiting. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on a situation. And like, you know, 7 years ago, this July, I had to wear a monitor after I had prostate surgery because my heart rate was low. And I get a phone call, and I had just changed clothes on Wednesday night. I get a phone call, and they said, "This is the Veterans Hospital in Nashville. Come to the emergency room right now. Do not drive." Well, you know, that kind of knocks you over. By the time I got to I-24, I was at peace.
Amen.
Why? Because the Lord was in charge. The Lord was in charge. That's when patience is working. On the other hand, if you'd been shook up and all ought to have been out of shape, your patience is not working. But let patience have her perfect work. Looking back chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that all have suffered a while, maketh you perfect, established, strengthen, settle you."
Amen.
Again, what is he telling here? There isn't anything that comes in our life that God has not allowed. And he's going to take care of the situation. That is letting patience have her perfect work. We can't control what's going to happen tomorrow. Some of you will be driving back home tomorrow. You don't know what's going to be on the road. But the Lord does. We're not going to head back until Monday. I don't know what's on the road Monday. I hope it's not like it was on the way up here. Raining. Semis going 50 miles an hour and another one going 53 trying to pass them. Traffic backed up. That tries your patience. And when it happens about 10 times in 50 miles, you're glad when it's over. But Satan also, remember, Satan also will try our patience. And he tries them many times with people, with family members, church members, in other situations. He'll do it at the workplace. But again, let the Lord work it out. Regardless if the Lord has put the test to us, as he did with Abraham, or if Satan has brought something before us, The Lord will work it out. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may become perfect and entire, wanting nothing. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Amen.
So what's that got to do with patience? This world, Satan, will bring this world to ask you questions such as that. Are you ready to give them an answer? Are you ready to tell them that God's in charge of your life? Are you ready to speak the gospel to them? You know, we haven't in a long time had any Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses come to our door. Because when they do, I preach to them. And they put an X on your door. We had some Mormons come by one time, and they knocked on the door, and I answered the door, and they said, we're from the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I says, no, you're not. And they kind of, what? I says, Church of Jesus Christ means right over here. You know what that does? It gets them off their canned speech. I was able to preach the gospel to them. But like I said, they put an X on our door. They haven't been back since. I wish they would. I don't mind preaching to them. Jehovah's Witnesses, last time they come by, they got their version of the Bible. They said, we believe in the Bible. So do I. Let me go get mine. They're gone. They don't want to get into discussion with anybody that knows anything about the Bible. That's a trying of your faith. And you need to be patient with them. I mean, you don't come at them like a bull in a china closet, like you're smart and they're dumb. You come at them with truth. Attempt to speak the word of God to them, the gospel. It's the only thing that's not going to help them any. The gospel. Patience will produce a positive relationship in your life. Again, verses 3 and 4 here says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Amen.
We think of, in that regard, let's think a moment for Paul and Silas. They were preaching in Philippi. They were beaten and put in prison. They weren't just put in prison, they were shackled to the wall.
Right.
What did they do? They began to pray and to sing praises unto God. You can hear them thanking God for being in prison. What happened? God sent an earthquake. The prison doors were open. Their shackles were off. And that Philippian jailer, because in that time, if a prisoner escaped, whoever the jailer was had to get the punishment, whatever the prisoner escaped.
Right.
He was going to kill himself. What'd they say? Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Patience. A situation they had no control over, but God did.
Amen.
And what was the end result? The Philippian jailer and his family were saved. See, God gives these situations to us for a positive reason. The doctor I had in charge in my case when I ended up with a pacemaker, I was reading my Bible one day and he come in to check on me. And I said, oh, he caught me reading my Bible. And he, you know what his response was? I wouldn't want to listen to any preacher that didn't read it. That gives you a good feeling when you know the man that's in charge of your case believes. But the trying of your patience. Patience, well, as he says here in verse 4, will produce a perfect work. I don't think he's telling us that every situation in this world is perfect. But he's saying our patience will be perfect. We will not doubt. We will not have any reason that believe that God is not in charge. And that he will see us through. That is patience. Leaving it in the Lord's hands. He's the only one that can see us through situations. Again, because he's allowed this situation to come into our life. He's not surprised. We may be, but he's not. He's not caught off guard. In every situation that we face, he will see us through. And again, as I'm saying, personally, my problem where I have lack of patience is little things that I attempt to do without even asking his help. There's a little molding on the floor going into our auditorium and needs to be tacked down. And I bought the little nails we need and got the hammer and it goes boing, boing. And I said, whoops, just put this away a while. That's going to get me up, my flesh all riled up. That's what we need to do. Put it aside. And since then, I know what I got to do. I'm going to go get my drill and drill some holes down through there smaller than what the nail is, but then it won't boing. The nails will go in. So sometimes you need to back up and let patience do her perfect work. Amen. God will give us a solution when we wait on him. I believe this is partly what he's talking about here in these two verses. Let patience have her perfect work. Unlike Mark, I only got one sheet of paper. I don't have 18. But I won't do it here. But when I preached this back at home, it took me 55 minutes. And I don't have 55 minutes. So we'll go on. But thinking again about Abraham. God had told Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a son. And how many years was it before Isaac was born? Ishmael, which was a result of Sarah's impatience, was 13 years old when Isaac was born. So it took a while. But God kept his promise. Abraham, we were told later in Hebrews 11, verse 11. Let's read that so we get it. Hebrews 11 and verse 11 says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged God faithful. In other words, they had gone through the Ishmael deal. And we know after Isaac was born, and Ishmael was making fun of Isaac, she had Ishmael kicked out.
Right.
But God kept his promise. But what did he promise Hagar? He's going to be a great nation also. And he is. The only problem is, Ishmael's still a problem today for Isaac. You wonder what's going on over there in Israel? It's Ishmael.
That's right.
But God's going to take care of that too.
That's right.
And we see all these protests, and I won't get too political. We see all these protests against Israel. We know who wins.
Yeah, right.
Israel does.
Amen.
Even though they're strayed away from God at this time, they're still his chosen nation. But there's the exercise of patience is a grace received from God to meet the trials and testings of life. And we have them. We have them day in and day out. We don't know what next week trials, what testings may come our way. It may be our own health. Maybe our spouse's health. It may be one of our children. Maybe one of our church members. But how are we going to handle them? How are we going to try trials and temptations? God knows. He knows what he has in store for us. How will we handle those? Over here in James chapter 4 and verse 8, I believe is an answer. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw near to God. You know, when we look at this verse, he isn't telling us here just when problems come, just when testings come. That, I believe, is a daily commandment. When we get up in the morning, draw nigh to God. And I actually, you know, and we think about that, if we daily intend to draw nigh to God, trials and testings will be much easier when they come our way. Why? Because we'll be ready. We'll be more ready. What do you think Abraham would have done if he hadn't drawn nigh to God before he told him, you go out and I'll show you a mountain, which of course was Mount Moriah, and sacrifice your son? He would probably done like a lot of times when we do, we start fussing and fuming and worrying and getting all uptight and call everybody in the countryside and tell them your problems. Draw nigh to God.
Amen.
Draw nigh to him. Again, let's look back there at 1 Peter chapter 5 again. And there's some instruction here that we can apply to this also. Verse 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Amen.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, maketh you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen.
You know, that is a remedy for letting patience have her perfect work. When a situation comes up, what's the first thing we should do? Take it to the Lord. Put it in His hands. Because again, first of all, it's no surprise to Him. And as we've seen here, Satan will bring these things into our life. He's sitting back hoping that we'll mess them up. I remember working down here at Chevrolet back in the 70s, and I was running the battery room for the big fork trucks. And there was a guy, I didn't even know he worked in the plant. But he was watching me every day. He knew that I was a preacher. And one day, I thought I was had everything up and I was going to go use the restroom. And somebody comes in and I picked up my hard hat. Boy, he come running over there. He says, "Were you swearing? Were you swearing?" No, I wasn't. I was just needed to go to the bathroom. But the world, Satan, is watching us. And patience in the testings and the trials that come our way is needed. Call upon the Lord in the time of trouble, and He's an ever-present help in the time of need. As we pass each day, let's look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. This should be a goal of ours. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. And this works, it works with patience. He says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." What's he saying? That's a goal. We also need to realize in this, in this flesh, we're not going to accomplish that perfection, but that's our goal. And who should our eyes be upon this? The Lord Jesus Christ. And as we stated earlier, the most patient person that ever walked upon this earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. No one was tested greater than Him. And He never failed. And, you know, when we, there's many things that we stop and think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been going through the book of John on Sunday afternoons. How many times did they want to arrest Him during those 3.5 years of His earthly ministry? But the Bible says His time was not yet His time. We have the same thing here. Our time is not yet up in this world. And we're going to face day in and day out many trials, many temptations, many situations. Turn it over to the Lord. And He will grant us patience. He will grant us the ability to endure. And when we have endured, what should we do? When the situation is cleared up, what should we do? Thank the Lord. We fail to do that many times. And I believe when we do, the next time trials and tribulations comes our way, they're a little bit stronger. Amen. James chapter 5 here in verses 7 and 8, he gives us a little practical situation. He says, "Be patient, be therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, have long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Amen.
When we look at the world situation today, and all the nonsense that's going on, we can only be like John and say, even so, come Lord Jesus. But as we look at these days, what's he saying here? Our life upon this earth is like the farmer. That's what he's talking about. Goes out and they plow their fields. They plant their fields. They cultivate their crops. And they harvest. But during the growing season, what do? They patiently wait for rain. They patiently wait for the crops to ripen to where they can pick them and so forth. They're patient. He's going likewise in our life, day in and day out. The Lord's coming. But let's patiently wait for Him. Let's patiently be looking for Him. Because He is coming. He is. I mean, some of us here may see physical death before that happens. But some of the younger ones here, very likely,
Amen.
Will be alive when the Lord comes back.
Amen.
Are we ready? Second Peter, chapter 3. I believe I see this attitude even among some of those who say they're saved by the grace of God. Verses 3 through 5 here says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the waters, whereby the world that then was overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, are by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There are scoffers today that say, you know, what are you talking about the Lord coming? And, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day. Was for years. You look at dates in anything before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was B.C. And everything from His birth after was A.D. Now they call it before current times and current times. It's still B.C. and A.D. Why do they put it in those terms? Because they're scoffers. They don't want to admit that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, that He is the Savior, that He's going to come again for His saints. They believe that time's going to go on forever. Time is not going on forever. The Lord is coming back. And I believe it is soon. But in the meantime, we need to practice patience. The Lord's return will come when this world cares less about it. They don't care. In fact, today, we can say the world cares less about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe somebody mentioned in this conference already about environmentalists and so forth. You know, they're more, they say they're more interested in saving the planet. They want everybody to have electric cars. But yet, to mine that stuff to make the batteries is the most hazardous environmental situation that you can see. But let them have their electric cars. I don't want something that it takes me 3 days to get from Kentucky to Michigan and 3 days to get back home. We have some examples of patience in the Scripture. In chapter 5 here in verse 11, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." As we stated earlier, you look at Job, the first two chapters of Job, they give a perfect example of Job's patience. Here he lost everything he owned. He lost all of his children because Satan said, "Go ahead, you take that hedge away from him and destroy all that he owns, destroy his family, and he'll curse you." God says, "Okay, but you can't touch Job." And what did Job do? "The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
Amen.
And then Satan says, "Oh yeah, you do that." He says, "But if you touch his health, he'll curse you." God says, "You can touch his body, but you can't touch his soul." That's for all of us. So, Job is in a boil from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And his wife even turned and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And he said, "What? Shall we not receive good at the hands of God and also bad?" In other words, well, Job realized that God allowed this to come into his life. And he said again, you know, he worshiped God, said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." But then as his friends showed up, I'm glad I don't have any friends like Job had. Well, Job's patience wore out. He began to try to make excuses for what they accused him of, instead of again saying, "Leave it in the Lord's hands." But then what did he do? After God came to him and remember that discourse where he said, "Where were you, Job, when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you?" Job wasn't around. We weren't around. But we believe he did it because he's given us the record. And Job repented. Patience. Abraham's patience endured for years before God fulfilled the promise he gave him. We need patience to go on in life to receive the gifts that God has promised for us. Let's look at one last verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I've skipped two-thirds of this last page. If you raise your hand and want me to finish, I'll finish. But no. Ecclesiastes, in chapter number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 6 says, verse 8, chapter 7, verse 8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than a proud spirit.
Amen.
It's better to be patient than to be proud. You know, in America, one of the greatest sins we have is pride. Pride. And it's drilled into our children's heads almost from the time they come into this world. Be proud. No, don't be proud. Be thankful.
Amen.
And seek patience. Brother Rowan.